Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So the next bit of Rio that we're going to look at this morning, and when I talk about Rio, remember we've talked about Jesus being the foundation of our faith. We've talked about him being our cornerstone. We know he is our rock, and now we're looking at things that would make up that foundation, that would add to that foundation. And as Pastor Oxy so wisely said once to me, it is the foundations of our walk that we're talking about, things that we need in our walk to be able to do the things that we do. So the bit of Rio, that bit of steel that bonds the things together that we're going to look at right now, is building a life of faith. And again, as I started to prepare this and as I put it together, I realized that this is an amazingly big subject in its own right. And so don't be surprised if the next time I talk you don't have building a life of faith part two, because there was just so many things that I wasn't able to put in here. So Jude 1:20 says, build yourself up on the foundation of your faith, continually progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher. And this is an incredibly awesome picture here. So we've got the foundation of our faith, that we are continually growing. So it's not something that we get and we've had it forever and ever and ever, but it's something that we grow in. It's something that's continually outworking in our life. Linda, great picture by that, with that heart too. Thank you so much. That was such an awesome picture. We're not there yet. We're continually growing in there. And then this picture of rising up like an edifice, higher and higher and higher. You know, where we were spending, we had 2 days, Chris and I, fortunately, in Abu Dhabi. And by the way, last Sunday morning, it was 44 degrees when we got up. So that's only 41 degrees hotter than what it was this morning when I got up here. You know, in the area that we stay in Abu Dhabi, it's down near the airport, and they've built Ferrari World, the racetrack down there. And they're building so many things. They've got this new movie world. They've got an incredibly tall building, and they're advertising it as a climbing space and a flying space. And just everywhere you look around Abu Dhabi, where we were anyhow, there's buildings, there's things happening, and they're growing exactly like this scripture here says. They're rising like an edifice, higher and higher. And as we went back to the same spot from last year to this year, as we look around the skyline, not only do we see cranes, but you see buildings growing. You see things happening. And that's what God's saying, what we have to do in regard to our lives with him and our faith with him. It's not just getting somewhere and staying there, but it's continuing to grow, continuing to allow him to build our lives higher and higher. So I have a question for you, which I'm not asking you to answer, but I do want to give you the question. Who knows what it takes to please God? You know, again, we've come out of two different countries. We've come out of a country where it's poverty-struck, where Muslim is becoming more and more part of the culture, where there's Catholicism, and Christianity, believe it or not, is being squashed out of Uganda in a big way. And then we went into Abu Dhabi, where it is a purely Muslim country, and you really feel the pressure. And so when you're there, you see people doing things to try and please God. You see people bowing down on mats. You see symbols of where you've got to look towards Mecca. You see people going through rituals, chanting certain prayers, praying over certain things, lighting incense, candles, doing something, thinking that that's going to please God. Others think the way to please God is through following rules and regulations. They make a list of the things to do and the things not to do, thinking that if they do all the to-dos and they don't do any of the do-nots, then God's going to say, hey, you're okay. But then there's others who think you please God through religious observances. You know, you observe a certain holy day or you attend a certain religious event, and they think that if they continue to do all these religious things enough, then they're going to be able to hear God say that they're okay. But the truth is, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. God isn't interested in rituals. He isn't interested in rules. He's not interested in regulations or religion. God, believe it or not, is interested in us. He's interested in having a relationship with us. And he says in his word that it's impossible to please him unless we possess one thing, faith. Faith that he exists. Faith that he is our creator God. And so, part A, I'd like to look at how to build a life of faith. A really interesting subject. A subject that if we don't have understanding of, can ultimately lead to unbelief, which I've seen many people have, because what they thought was faith led them to be disappointed or hurt in God to the point that they now have unbelief instead of faith. What is faith? Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is just the most amazing book. And we're not going to read it all today, but I'd encourage you over the next week or two just to read chapter 11 and maybe go into James and read the first book of James, the first chapter of James as well. But chapter 11 of Hebrews is known as God's Hall of Faith. It's a great place to start when we want to look at what is a practical look at faith and what faith is all about. The chapter has a list of those who God says had great faith. And there's things in there that singled them out for God to be able to bestow this honour upon them. And I want to look at six of those things this morning as we talk about what it does to bring faith into our lives, what faith is all about. Faith is believing when we don't see it. Isn't that interesting? Faith is believing when we don't see it. The first verse of Hebrews 11 is what many would describe as the typical definition of what faith is. However, I believe it's not a definition, it's more a description, with the rest of the chapter adding to it. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says it, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. You know, you can have faith for something, and if it doesn't happen, because you've had faith in something so great that you then get disillusioned or disappointed or even to the point of unbelief, as I said a minute ago. But when you have hope for something, then hope is out there. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't change the fact that you've got hope. I've got hope that Juliet will be healed. But if she isn't healed, God is still God, and it doesn't destroy my faith in God being the healing God that he is. Because God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. It's God's will that we need to be continually looking for. And we don't know God's will in all situations because God is God and we're not God. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. And it's certain of what we don't see. In the Old Testament, they saw God at work in different ways. We see God at work in different ways, but nobody's ever seen God. If we could see God, then it would be easy to have faith because you can physically see something. But when you can't see something, it makes it a little bit more difficult. And so faith is believing when we don't see. We often say, I'll believe it when I see it. But God says you have to believe it in order to see it. That's faith. Now, there's a lot of little one-liners that you've got to try and pick up. And if you don't pick them up, I encourage you to download the notes from the website tomorrow. As I tried to think about how do I explain this faith, how do I explain faith believing when you don't see it, I thought of an architect. An architect draws a whole lot of plans. You know, we had a great architect on this property, a guy called Ken Edmonds, and Sally and Ken worked incredibly well together. And Ken was able to grab a vision and put it on paper. And then we built it. An architect likes planning buildings. He creates something. An artist creates a sculpture. They have a picture in their mind. They have a vision. They have something that they can see, but it's not there physically. An athlete, you know, the guy that beat the 4-minute mile, he could see that he could do it, but it hadn't been done before. All of these, the architect, the sculpture, the athlete, whatever, they had to believe and envision something before they could accomplish it. They had to believe that it was possible long before it even became possible. You know, I have sat on this property many times and looked at plans and looked at bits of land and thought, man, that's not going to be what it is. And then we start to build it and it doesn't look like it's going to be what we thought it was going to be. And then slowly it comes together. And it comes together because, again, the architect had a vision and could see it in his mind as he wrote it on paper, as he drew it on paper. And then the thing became. It's a gift. It's a skill. It's faith. Wernher von Braun, it sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Yeah. It's great when you can write in to Google and say, give me some faith quotes. And these people who you don't know come up. Who knows Wernher von Braun? Anyone know him? Bob Toll. Who was he? Bob Toll, you are awesome. Give Bob a clap. He was the builder and designer of the Atlas and the Saturn rockets. There you go. Well done, Bob. He said, there's never been a significant achievement in human history that was not accomplished or accompanied by faith. Now, who knows who the first Russian cosmonaut was? Bob Toll. I'm going to have you as my phone a friend, Bob. Who was it, Bob? There you go. Well done. You know what he said? He said when he got into outer space that because I can't see God, he mustn't exist. Yet John Glenn, the 10th man to walk on the moon and an incredibly fine Christian man, said, to look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God is to me impossible. It just strengthens my faith. He didn't see God. He couldn't see God, but he saw God in creation. And that strengthened his faith. While we may not see God, it doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. While we may not see the face of God, God is seen in creation everywhere. You only got to look at these great flowers down here. And thanks, Deb, for the flowers once again. And you look at this one here and it's not budded yet, or it hasn't opened yet. You look here, is it a lilium, Chris, or something? What's it called? Someone? Flower. There's my man. Thank you. You know, God created that. And we see God in creation everywhere. And it's an amazing thing. So faith believes before seeing. But there's more. Faith is obeying when we don't understand it. Hebrews 11:7 talks about Noah. And again, these great men and women in this great hall of faith. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, moved in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Can you imagine what Noah thought The doubts he must have had when God said, I'm going to wipe out every living thing on earth, and with you, I'm going to start over all again. I would have had a lot of questions and a lot of thoughts if God had said that to me. You see, it had never flooded before. It had never rained before. It was only a mist, the Bible says, that watered the earth. So when God told Noah to build a big boat, well, what's a boat? In the middle of the desert, far from the ocean because it was going to rain, and then said, I'm going to save or use you to start the world again as far as people go. It must have brought a lot of questions. It must have brought a lot of doubts. It must have even conjured up a bit of, come on, God, you're joking me. I can't remember who the comedian was, but this is God. Who? Rain? What's that? Noah, by faith, obeyed, even though it didn't make sense to him. When we look in this scripture and it says, moved with reverent fear, you could add the word obey straight after that. And then if we put a circle around the word faith, you see the two components that come together in this area where we are moved and have faith by obeying when we don't understand it. Obedience and faith always go together, and I mean always go together. Faith is obeying God when we don't understand or when it doesn't make sense. Another man in this hall of faith, Abraham, said it this way. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was receiving as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. How many times in our lives do we have that sense that God is moving us on or challenging us to take a step of faith, to do something, and we don't do it because we have doubt? Again, in this passage, we see the word obey and faith. Abraham, 75 years old, but instead of retiring, God sends him out on an adventure of a lifetime. God tells Abraham to move from what he knows to a place that he had no idea about. And God gave him a promise about his seed and the seeds and the seeds and the seeds that were going to come from this walk of faith that he did. Abraham believed God. Abraham obeyed God. Abraham stepped out in faith, in obedience, even when it didn't make sense. See, we need to know that faith is always attached to risk. And this is where I think most of us have the problem. Because we live in this world system where we want a guarantee. If you want me to do this, then how do I know you're going to do your bit? Okay, I'll do it, but I'd like you to do this first. You know, we used to shake hands as a contract. Now we want contracts, and then you've got solicitors. You know, where has our faith, our confidence, our trust gone? And we apply that back to God. We put God in the same box. We put God in the place of, okay, God, will you show me first? Well, God has showed us first. While we were yet sinners, his son died for us. He's shown us how much he loves us already. If we want God to prove it before we do it, then that's not faith. God wants us to believe even when we don't see and obey even when we don't understand. The Bible's full of things that don't make sense, in the sense of they don't make sense to us because we try and image God in our own image. But the Bible says that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He will do what he wants to do because he knows what he's doing. And he already knows the outcome and what it's going to look like. And as David Hernandez used to say, he's got our best interest at heart all the time. Here's the point. If we learn to obey, even when it doesn't make sense, then we are building a foundation of faith. If you will do what God asks you to do, even though you don't understand it, then you are building a foundation of faith. Faith is giving when we don't have it. Just as obedience and faith go together, so does giving and faith. Touches our hip pocket, doesn't it? God uses our finance to test our faith. You think about tithing. You know, realistically, a tenth of our gross income is a lot of money. You add a tenth of your gross income plus your mortgage, plus your household food expenses, plus your car expenses, plus kids and grandkids. You add all of that together and you don't have enough money to tithe. Anyone done a budget and realised that they don't have enough money to tithe? We used to do a budget like that. Fortunately, we were trained by godly parents that God always came first. And so the tithe was always the first that came out. There has never been a day that God has not provided our needs. Not our greeds, our needs. Sure, we might not have had much money in the bank. It might have looked a little tight, but never have we been in want. Faith is giving when we don't have it. And this is not a tithing message. This is just a truth message. God uses our finances to test us, to test our faith. God says, what are you going to trust more? My promise to take care of you? My promise that I am your provider? Or that you know your situation better than I do? What I find interesting is that the first person to get his name in God's hall of faith is a guy called Abel. But Abel's different to Abraham and Noah, because Abel didn't do anything great. There's nothing great attached to Abel's name, except only one thing: that he gave. He was in that hall of faith because he gave. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. If you circle the word faith and you circle the word sacrifice, you will see that, again, giving and faith and sacrifice work together. It wasn't what Abel gave that pleased God, it was how he gave it. It was a sacrifice, and that's what the Bible says. And that's what often we do. We're not really sacrificing when we give our tithe, because that's really God's altogether. But when we give it an offering, then we are sacrificing. God doesn't care about the amount. What God cares about is the attitude in which we give it. And I think in giving there's two ways we can give. We can give by reason, or we can give by revelation. You give by reason when you look at your bank account, you see how much money you've got in there and you can say, we can afford this much. But then you give by revelation when God puts something in your heart, and even though your bank account doesn't look right and things you know are not going to go too easily for it, by faith you step out and you offer to God what he's told you to do. This, I believe, is giving by faith. And this is the type of giving that pleases God. And so if you don't tithe, if you don't give an offering, if you are so tight on your money because you don't think you've got enough, then you're not having faith and trust in God as your provider. And I can honestly testify that God, again, has never, ever, ever let us down. And I can take you through what it's like having three kids at school, school fees, and all the other things that all of you have. So don't say, Pastor, you don't understand, because we do understand, I can tell you. The Apostle Paul connects this type of giving to a promise. In 2 Corinthians 9, it says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So the next one is, faith is persisting when we don't feel like it. This is the opposite, isn't it, to the way the world works. The world says, if it feels good, do it. But if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. The truth is, if we're going to let our emotions rule, then we're going to be manipulated for the rest of our lives by our moods. Faith is persisting even when we feel like giving up. And I know that there would be many in this room right now who are tired, who are thinking, man, is it worth it all? I feel like just giving up. We need to keep on keeping on if we're going to see breakthrough in our lives. No professional athlete enjoys working out, getting up running, getting up training. I think of those swimmers that swim for Australia, and I listen to their parents talking about the getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and taking them swimming and then taking them swimming after school. I think of the amount of work that goes into professional musicians practicing every day to be able to perfect their craft. I'm sure that they don't enjoy it all the time, but I'm sure their persisting is what makes them who they are. By persisting through feelings, it's what makes us successful in God. You see, faith doesn't come to us by an accident. The halls of faithers didn't get that way by accident. The Bible says they persisted. They chose to take time to develop the habits necessary to live by faith no matter how they felt. And so the challenge for us here is not to let our emotions rule. I don't feel like it today. I'm too tired. I think I'll have a rest right now. Moses, the Bible tells us, didn't quit, even though he had to walk the children of Israel around the wilderness for 40 years. That miserable, whining group of people. They could have just walked straight into the promised land. But no, they blew it. And now I've got to babysit them for 40 years. No, he persisted. He kept his eyes on God. And he stayed faithful. We watch this world that we live in. And we see so many people prepared to quit. You know, it comes because of the way things are designed now. You get a television, you know that it's got 3 or 4 years life in it because there's going to be a better model. Computers, you know, we buy hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of computers in the school, and we work on the basis of 3 to 5 years max. They're outdated. It's not that they're broken. They're just outdated, and it's not worth upgrading them. We buy cars. We get a 7-year guarantee on a Kia now because they know that in 7 years you're going to want a new car. We get washing machines and fridges, and they're designed not to even be pulled apart anymore. I grew up in a household, it was repair, not replace. That was my dad's motto, repair, not replace. We had so many pulled apart things in our house that were being repaired, it wasn't funny. Yet today we live in this world that it's not repair, replace, it's replace. You know, marriages, let's just replace it. Not worth it. Let's start again. A job, I'm sick of my job. When I was started work, you got a job and you thought you would have that job for the rest of your life because you were pleased to have a job. Now, I think stats say you're going to have 7 to 12 jobs in your lifetime. Your dream. Oh, that dream didn't work. I'll get a new dream. That church doesn't work. God didn't work. I think I might find a new God. I might go to India. There's thousands of them over there. We look at it and we see that our situations, we think, are beyond hope. But God says differently. He says, keep your eyes on him and keep faith in his promises. Faith is thanking before we receive it. One more after this, guys. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. We all know about Jericho. It was the most fortified city in the land of Canaan. As they moved over into the promised land, God told Joshua to march around it 7 times on the 7th day, march around it 7 times, be quiet. And the last time, as you march around, everybody shouts. What do they shout? Oh, goody, no more walking. I don't think so. I think they shouted thanks. I think they shouted praise. I think they screamed incredible delight in the knowledge that God was going to do what God said he was going to do, and the walls were going to come tumbling down. And guess what they did? So many people have gone before and have done things without actually seeing the result. I believe that we have to learn to believe without receiving what we're going to have faith for. You only have to read the books on revivals to realize that many of them seeded those revivals by praying. They never saw it. But when you read the history books, you read about these that prayed. Faith continues to believe and hope even though you might never see the results. Oh, I missed a part there. Ah, no wonder. Sorry, guys, you've got half a sermon in there. Let me go back one step. Therefore, I say to you, we're going back to the step, that one. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If we wait until we receive to give thanks, that's gratitude, not faith. Faith believes in advance, thanking God for what he's going to do, and it's that faith that caused the walls of Jericho to come down. Now, that brings me to the last point. Faith is believing without receiving. That's the hardest one of all. The writer of Hebrews gives a nod to everyone who continued to believe, even though they never received the promise. This is what Hebrews 11:39 says. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. You know, living by faith doesn't exempt us from problems. There are times in life when we've had faith all our lives and we've never seen the answer. And we could talk about missionaries, we could talk about people who have prayed for things, we could talk about so many examples. It happens to us that sometimes we don't see the outworking of the things that we've had faith for. And that's what these hall of faith has suffered. They believed, but even though they believed, they never received their promises. And there's some of us in this room today that you have believed, that you are believing, that you continue to believe, yet you're not seeing what you've got faith for. The only way to answer that is that that doesn't take away the fact that we continue to trust God. Continue to rely on, continue to lean on God, because God is still God. And again, we might be in the halls of faith in years to come where it's said of us, they never gave up. They still had faith that God believed. This morning, I want you to know that to build a solid foundation of faith, we need to believe when we don't see it. We need to obey when we don't understand it. We need to give when we don't have it. We need to persist when we don't feel like it. We need to thank God before we receive it. And we need to believe without receiving it. I'd like you to stand if you would, please. I'd like you just to close your eyes for a minute and not look around. We're not going to have an altar call as such, but we are going to have an altar call. I just really felt this morning as I was praying about this morning that there's people particularly who are in that last section that you're believing and you're not receiving. And to a point, you are wondering whether your faith is real now, whether your God that you're believing in is real right now. You are struggling with doubt. You're struggling with unbelief. You're struggling with a whole lot of things. A whole lot of things in your life haven't happened the way you've had faith for. And I just want you to know this morning that God is God and He is still in charge. And His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And if you, this morning, you're in this room and you feel like your faith is wavering or you feel like you've lost faith, then I'd like to pray for you this morning. I really would. So if that's you, just raise your hand quickly. Don't have to keep it up in the air. Just raise it quickly. Put it down. If you're struggling in your faith, lots of people around the room. Let's just pray. Father, I pray that you would water your word this morning and that, Lord, as these ones that have put their hands up go back to your word as they read through Hebrews 11, verse 1. Lord God, that they would this day have their faith rekindled as they, Lord God, this day decreed that they're going to believe even though they don't see it. They're going to obey even though they don't understand it. They're going to start to give money, give of themselves, give of their tithe, whatever it might be, even though they might not feel it. Lord God, they're going to continue to persist even when they are tired or don't feel like it. Lord God, they're going to start to practice thanking you and praising you before they even see what they're thanking you for come to being. Lord God, they're going to understand that even though they might not ever see it in their lifetime, that Father, that doesn't take away the fact that they are to have hope, they are to have faith, and they are to trust in you. And so, Lord God, I pray that you would cause our faith in you to rise as we have hope for those things that we don't yet see. Lord, have your way, I pray, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.